Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 2nd. Two teenagers face capital murder charges. Five Midlanders are arrested in connection with another teen's death. Two Midland teens have been charged with capital murder, and a third teen has been charged with murder in connection with the death of a 17-year-old boy, according to a press release from the Midland County Sheriff's Office. Robert Duncan, who had been reported missing, had been the subject of a search that began Monday evening. His body was found about 3:30 p.m. Tuesday at a trailer park off South County Road 1230, south of Interstate 20 and Loop 250. Zayden L. Hayes, 18, was being held Wednesday on a $1.5 million bond on the capital murder, making a terroristic threat charge. He also was charged with possession of marijuana, a Class B misdemeanor, and violation of probation, a state jail felony. His bond was set at $100,000 on each of those charges. Larry A. West, 17, also was being held Wednesday on a $1.5 million bond on the capital murder, making a terroristic threat charge. Rogelio I. Cadena, 18, was being held on a $1.5 million bond on a murder charge, a first-degree felony. Two other Midland teens have been charged in the case. Rogelio Vasquez, 18, was being held Wednesday on a $1.5 million bond on a charge of tampering with evidence, a third-degree felony. John Hayes, 17, was charged with interfering with public duties. He is no longer being held at Midland County Jail. Chief Seth Herman gave a statement Wednesday about the Midland Police Department's role in the Duncan investigation. Once the Midland Police Department took the report on Sunday, December 29, 2019, an investigation was immediately initiated. MPD officers conducted follow-up by contacting associates and searching locations throughout the city and county, exhausting all efforts until one of the associates contacted the Midland County Sheriff's Office the following day to admit that he gave false information to our sergeant. Herman said in the emailed statement, "During that time, the associate provided a location that was in the county. At that time, the investigation was turned over to the MCSO, and we continued to assist the MCSO in the search. At no time did we stop our investigative efforts." John Hayes was arrested Monday. West and Cadena were arrested Tuesday, and Zayden Hayes and Vasquez were arrested Wednesday, according to MCSO. Man's bond set at $1 million for murder charge. A 21-year-old Odessa man was being held at Midland County Jail Wednesday on a $1 million bond for a murder charge in connection with a shooting death that occurred Saturday afternoon. Malik Jamal Jakari Gordon, who was arrested Monday, was one of three suspects seen fleeing the scene after the shooting of Saul Luz Murillo, 25. Midland Police Department and officers responded to the 500 block of South Carver Street at 3:45 p.m. Saturday and found Murillo, who had two gunshot wounds. National Weather Service. 2019 is one of warmest in city's history by Stuart Doreen. The decade finished with another warm month and year. In fact, the National Weather Service reported on its website that 2019 will be one of the warmest on record. The average temperature in 2019 was 66.0 degrees, which will go down as the seventh warmest on record. It was an appropriate ending to a decade that produced six of the seven warmest years on record at Midland International Airport. The decade finished with four of those 6 months, including the warmest year on record, 67.5 degrees in 2017. The NWS shows 2016 was the second warmest year on record. 2018 tied for the fifth warmest, and 2019 the seventh warmest. The year 2019 was notable in that August was the warmest August on record, and the summer was the fifth warmest in Midland's recorded history. The year came to a close with December's average temperature at 49.5 degrees, which was 5.1 degrees above average and the sixth warmest on record in Midland. The Climate Prediction Center is delivering bad news for those hoping for a cooler 2020. The CPC is calling for higher than average temperatures during every three-month period of 2020. The center is also calling for an equal chance of average precipitation in 2020. The National Weather Service reports 14.28 inches of precipitation fell in 2019. It was the smallest amount going back to 2014. The average precipitation in Midland during a year is 14.6 inches, according to the NWS. State briefs from Wire reports. Man sentenced to prison for dumping waste. A 52-year-old Midland man chose prison time over probation after pleading guilty Monday to a felony charge of intentional or knowing unauthorized discharge, according to a press release from the Midland County District Attorney's Office. Jose Mario Rivas Gomez had been offered probation to remedy the harm done to the property of the I-20 Wildlife Preserve. He was sentenced to 4 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Authorities received an environmental complaint on January 3, 2019, about a trailer park pumping sewage onto the preserve's property. An investigation revealed that the trailer park was disposing of human waste in sewage pits, and a large pile of waste was found at the park. The owner was unaware there was a residential trailer park on his property. He said Rivas Gomez had lived on his property for years, but was not allowed to bring in additional trailers. Rivas Gomez lived at a separate trailer park and was using the property to collect money from tenants, which he was not authorized to do. The trailer park's sewage pit was found to be located uphill from the wildlife preserve's lake, and land near the pit sloped down steeply, which allowed the sewage to drain into the wildlife preserve. A total of 1,264 pounds of solid waste was found at the trailer park. Lubbock. Two killed in shooting at nightclub, suspect sought. Police in Texas say they are searching for a suspect after two men were fatally shot during a fight inside a Lubbock nightclub early New Year's Day. Police say the two killed were 17-year-old Garante Shepherd and 24-year-old Dedrick Traylor. Police say officers responding to Level Nightclub just before 2 a.m. Wednesday found a wounded Shepherd in the street in front of the nightclub and a wounded Traylor inside. Both were taken to a hospital where they died. Police say Traylor and the suspect had a physical altercation inside the club when the suspect pulled a firearm and shot him. Police say Shepherd was running from the scene when he was shot. No one else was injured. Police are asking anyone with information about the shooting to contact them. Houston. Woman ringing in New Year killed by stray bullet. Authorities say a woman ringing in the New Year was fatally shot by a stray bullet outside her Houston home. The Harris County Sheriff's Office said 61-year-old Philippa Ashford died after being shot at 12:01 a.m. Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said it appears she may have been struck by celebratory gunfire from outside her immediate neighborhood. The woman's family and their neighbors were discharging fireworks in their cul-de-sac when she called out that she had been shot, according to the department. She was pronounced dead at the scene. We have no indication that any family member or anybody in the cul-de-sac was discharging a firearm, and we've walked the streets and canvassed up and down to see if we can find any shell casings in the neighborhood and are not finding anything, Sergeant Ben Beal, a spokesman for the Harris County Sheriff's Office, told the Houston Chronicle. The Menninger Clinic, a Houston facility that treats mental illness, said in a statement that Ashford was a nurse manager there, serving as a leader and mentor to their nursing and clinical team. Her body has been sent for an autopsy, and the Sheriff's Department is asking anyone with information regarding her death to call it. The Chronicle reports that Houston police and Harris County deputies issued public alerts on New Year's Eve, warning the public not to discharge their weapons while celebrating. The Menninger Clinic said it will hold a memorial service for Ashford and will provide grief counseling to those impacted by her death. Temple. Man not armed when killed by police officer. A report that police in Temple filed with the state's attorney general says a man who was fatally shot last month by an officer did not have a weapon. Police have released little information since the December 2nd shooting in Temple, about 70 miles northeast of Austin. Police have said Officer Carmen de Cruz fatally shot 28-year-old Michael Dean, but haven't said what led de Cruz to open fire. According to the Temple Daily Telegram, the report was filed Monday with the Texas Attorney General's Office, which compiles information on officer-involved shootings across the state. The report gives basic information like the location of the incident, but does not provide a narrative. It was filled out by a Temple police investigator. The report does say the shooting happened during a traffic stop. Temple police spokesman Cody Weems said in a statement Tuesday that police are required to file the report with the Attorney General's office within 30 days of an incident. He said that because police currently have only limited information from sources that do not have firsthand knowledge of the facts, the form might be revised later. De Cruz was placed on paid administrative leave after the shooting. USPS stamp to feature Big Bend. The limestone cliffs of Santa Elena Canyon in Big Bend National Park will soon adorn priority mail postage stamps across the country. Designed by art director Greg Breeding with original art by Dan Cosgrove, the stamp depicts the Rio Grande flowing through the 1,500 feet high canyon, one of the park's most visited destinations. The stamp, to be released January 18th, is part of a focus in 2020 on stamps that celebrate the people, events, and cultural milestones unique to the history of the United States, according to a release from the U.S. Postal Service. It costs $7.75. The USPS annually receives about 30,000 suggestions for stamp ideas. The Citizens Stamp Advisory Committee, made up of experts in fields such as history, science, and art, review the suggestions and pare down a list for the Postmaster General. Obituaries and death notices from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, January 2nd. Cindy Jane Cochran, ESPY, died unexpectedly in Midland on December 28th at the age of 68. Cindy is survived by her husband of 48 years, Robert Wesley Cochran, her beloved son Robert Ryan Cochran, and his wife Jennifer, and two grandchildren. She's also survived by a large extended family, including sister-in-law Janice Knapper Doss and husband Avery of La Mesa, brother-in-law Thomas Cochran and wife Anne of Dickinson, Texas, special nieces and nephews. Cindy was preceded in death by her dear mother, Mary Frances Espy Wood, of Tornillo, Texas, her father, Joseph Espy of Henderson, Nevada, and special aunts Lennis Wood and Margaret Vaughn Wood of Midland, along with numerous others. Cindy was born on December 27, 1951, in El Paso. A scholarship fund for biology students to Midland College in Cindy's name is in the process of being set up. For more information, please contact Robert Cochran at uppercase R, lowercase OB, uppercase C, 827@AOL.com. The family will receive friends for visitation on Thursday, January 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services are scheduled for Friday, January 3rd at 2 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. All are welcome to attend and celebrate Cindy's life. Burial will be held privately by the family. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Corrine T. Rabb was born November 25, 1937, in Brookshire, Texas, to Charlie and Jesse Trials. She peacefully departed this life on December 29. She was predeceased by her husband, McKinley Rabb. Leaving to cherish her memories are her children, Ligale, William, Darcy K., Danny, Eddie, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be Friday, January 3rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Her homegoing service will be Saturday, January 4th, at 9 a.m. at Alexander Temple COGIC in Midland. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Julia Ann Pruitt Klocksheim was born on March 1, 1967, in Ruidoso, New Mexico, to Victoria Purdue Pruitt and Otis E. Bunk Pruitt. The family will receive friends on Saturday, January 4th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Julie is survived by her loving husband, John Klocksheim, her three children, Shane DeJasimo and Victoria Lamb Floyd, both of Midland, Catherine Katie Lamb of Johnstown, Colorado, three grandchildren, her father, Bunk Pruitt of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, her mother, Victoria Pepper, and husband, Ron, of Midland, and her aunt and uncle of Clovis, New Mexico. She was preceded in death by her beloved grandparents, Dan and Etha Pruitt of Millensand, New Mexico, by her maternal grandmother, Helen McCarty of Ruidoso, and her uncle, Dale Pruitt. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Lone Star Animal Sanctuary. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Linda Gail Robertson, 68, of Houston, passed away on Thursday, December 12th, surrounded by her loving family. Linda was born October 27, 1951, in Wewoka, Oklahoma, to Anna and Roland Scott. Linda loved doting on her five grandchildren. She is survived by two sons, Lance Robertson and his wife Jenny of Midland, and Casey and Brandy Robertson of Oklahoma City. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, January 6th, at First Presbyterian Church of Midland, with Pastor Charles Texera officiating. Her ashes will be held at the columbarium at the church. In acknowledgement of Linda's love of spending time in Galveston Bay with her family for the last 10 years of her life, the family would be honored by a memorial donation to the Galveston Bay Foundation in her name. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Melody Ann Smith was born January 31, 1966, in Midland and passed on December 27th at home with loved ones. She is preceded in death by her grandparents, Charles, Jack, and Lovey Sassy Randolph, Catherine G., and Lindsay and Betty Jo Smith. She is survived by her parents, Robert and Martha Smith, her son and daughter-in-law, Mark and Emerald Phillips, daughter and son-in-law, Leilani and Joshua Treviso, one grandson, son and daughter-in-law, Jared and Jamie Phillips, along with many nieces, nephew, and great-nieces and nephews. Family will receive friends at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home, Saturday, January 4th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to grand companions in the form of a tribute donation. https://www.grandcompanions.org/tribute-donation.html. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Norman Davis Van Loo was born on March 27, 1935, and died on December 22nd, at the age of 84, with his wife at his side. Norman was preceded in death by his parents and all his siblings. He is survived by his adoring wife, Charlsie, and his daughters, Debbie, husband Ashley Coco, and Laurie, husband Brian Cope, 5 grandchildren, nephew Howard Gordon, whom he loved like a brother, several other nieces, nephews, and extended family. Services will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 4th, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home. The family invites everyone to a reception following the service at the branch at NPW. Inurnment to follow at a later date in Crane, Texas. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that you make donations in memory of Norman to the Capital of Texas Chapter Alzheimer's Association, 5508 West Highway 290, Suite 206, Austin, Texas, 78735, or your favorite charity. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Kaylin Payne passed away on December 28th in Midland. Her memorial service will be held Saturday, January 4th at 2 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. Shirley Rogers, 83, of Midland, passed away December 29th. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 4th at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Survivors include husband Jimmy Rogers. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Hello, this is Cindy reading Weekender, your guide to events in the Permian Basin from the MRT. Heat Index, today. Country Night. Mason Lively, who hails from Victoria, is already working on his second album. He debuted his alt-country sounds on 2018's Stronger Ties. His sophomore effort isn't keeping him off the road. He headlines the Rockin' Rodeo stage tonight, kicking off a new year of music, 9 p.m. Friday. Sing Out. DJ Cisco has become a fixture at the Midland Beer Garden with his weekly karaoke nights. Try your vocal chops on Broadway show tunes, classic rock or 90s hip-hop. Nothing is off limits. In between, he seamlessly mixes music tracks into another for some club vibes. Sign up for your go-to song beginning at 9 p.m., 21 and older. Saturday. On display. The Black Hen Gallery will debut the solo exhibition artwork by Rashawn Hauschmund with an opening reception. Her art has Iranian and South American influences and has exhibited in Spain, Uruguay, and Italy, as well as throughout the United States. She is currently a painting instructor in New York. Hauschmund will not be present at the opening. She is attending Session Monastery's Sering Art School in Nepal, 6 p.m. Sunday. Who goes there? Whovians, get ready. The TARDIS returns to movie theaters for the season 12 premiere episode of Doctor Who by Fathom Events. The 13th Doctor resumes her space travels with sidekicks Ryan, Yasmin, and Graham. The screening will also feature a Q&A with Who actor Jodie Whittaker and castmates Rosin Cole and Mandip Gill. transmitted live from New York, 1 p.m., at Regal Tall City Stadium. After Mediterranean honeymoon, man refuses to live with wife. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, my heart is breaking for my friend who was married just a month and a half ago. She and her husband went on a two-week Mediterranean cruise for their honeymoon. They have not lived together since then. Her husband says he loves her, and I know she loves him, but he has no immediate plans to live with her. She's heartbroken and is planning an annulment. What advice do you have? Throne in Maryland. Dear Throne, I wish you had shared a few more details about their situation. I'm surprised your friend wasn't aware of her husband's feelings before she married him. However, as sympathetic as you are about her situation, my advice is to be there for her to lean on, but refrain from giving her advice. She's going to have to figure this out for herself. Some couples do better if they live separately, but if what her husband has in mind was a surprise and is unacceptable to her, she was doing the right thing. Dear Abby, I'm not sure if anyone else has this problem. My husband is constantly grabbing me, either my breasts or my crotch. It's day and night. We have been married almost 40 years, and I am sick of it. If I say something, he says, "Oh, I bet the guys you work with would love to be touching you." Not once have my coworkers ever implied such a thing. I just don't understand. Any suggestions on how I can make him understand I hate this? Groped out West. Dear Groped, your husband may consider what he's doing as foreplay, or regard you not as a person but his property. Touching someone in this manner without consent could be considered sexual abuse. His comment about your male coworkers may be a backhanded compliment, but why you're sick of hearing it is understandable. If he doesn't understand after 40 years that you dislike what he's doing, it's because he doesn't want to, and your feelings are unimportant to him. A marriage counselor may be able to help you get through to him. If he won't go, go without him. Dear Abby, I am 59 years old with a good job. I have a pleasant personality, and I have been told I am attractive. I would love to find someone who would be a very good friend or maybe even a love connection. The problem is I wear partials because some of my teeth are missing. I'm very attractive with them in, but I'm afraid if I tell a man I have them, he won't regard me as attractive anymore. Should I withhold that information until further down the line? Please advise me because this is holding me back on trying to have a relationship. I don't want to remain lonely because of this. Ready for something in D.C. Dear Reddy, you state that you have a good job. If all that's holding you back from finding a partner is embarrassment about your dentures, contact a dentist and ask if there are other options, such as implants, that might be a solution for you. If there are, it will give you the boost of confidence you are seeking. If not, keep in mind that if you're dating the right man in your age group or older, he shouldn't have as much a problem with your teeth as you fear. New Year's baby. MC faculty are parents of MMH's first baby of 2020 by Brandy Addison. Two associate professors in the English department at Midland College are the parents of the first baby born in 2020 at Midland Memorial Hospital. Stacy and Brendan Egan welcomed Gray Matthew Egan at 6:05 a.m. Wednesday. He weighed 7 pounds 13 ounces. Stacy, 33, and Brendan, 38, said they named their son after Stacy's great-great-grandfather, whose middle name was Gray. He was born in 1864. The name has been a family name for a long time, Brendan said. He said Matthew, the boy's middle name, is his middle name and that of his father. The couple also have a daughter, Willa, who was born at MMH in April 2018. Stacy said she is named after author Willa Cather. The new parents did not expect to have the first baby of the new decade. Brendan said he and Stacy arrived at MMH around 3:45 a.m. and within 3 hours they were holding their baby boy. He said that was unexpected because his wife had been in labor for nearly 2 days when Willow was born. "We didn't stay up to watch the ball drop last night. We were all set to go to bed, and Stacy began having contractions," Brendan said. "But because it took a couple of days of labor before his big sister came, we thought we would have another day or so. He was actually due on January 6th. He was just in a hurry to get here," Brendan said. Throughout the pregnancy, Stacy and Gray have been under the care of Dr. Ben Doak, but because of the unexpected arrival, Doak did not deliver Gray, Brendan said. The Egan said they hope to head back home this morning. Willa hasn't yet met her baby brother in person, but she has seen him through a video chat on FaceTime. Brendan said Willa has always been crazy about babies, so he and Stacy are hoping she adores him just as much. "I think the most exciting thing will be introducing him to his new sister," Brendan said. For having the first baby of the year, the Egans received a gift basket. The gifts included the Shusher from Baby Biz, a baby's first Christmas ornament and gift card from Miss Casey's Wonderland, a handmade knitted blanket and hat from Nifty Knitters for Newborns, Midland Churches of Christ, a breathable mattress pad and rattle from Hope Chest of Midland, and a travel mug and specialty tea from the Woodhouse Day Spa. ECISD finalist for Blended Learners Initiative. 20 winners to each receive $300,000 and technical support. The Raise Your Hand Texas Foundation has announced 30 finalist school districts for the second cohort of the Raising Blended Learners Demonstration Initiative. One of the districts is Ector County ISD. These districts are being considered for a total of $6 million in grant funding plus additional in-kind technical assistance to implement a personalized learning program. The 30 finalists were chosen based on their blended learning business plans and to reflect Texas demographic and geographic diversity with a goal of igniting a statewide educational shift. The finalist cohort reflects a diverse mix of suburban, rural, and urban districts ranging in size from 550 to 146,000 students. Finalist districts will attend a workshop in January 2020 to further craft their proposed strategies and business plans. In April 2020, the Raise Your Hand Texas Foundation will select up to 20 winning districts to each receive up to $300,000 in grant funding and technical assistance. Blended learning combines the best of in-person classroom teaching with online technology, so teachers can use data to personalize instruction and students gain more ownership over their learning. Blended learning is gaining momentum and changing the face of teaching and learning across the state thanks to the work of the first Raising Blended Learners cohort and the Texas Legislature's funding of a $12 million blended learning grant over the biennium, said Jennifer Genderzee, VP of Strategy and Evaluation for the Raise Your Hand Texas Foundation. Genderzee oversaw the initiative's launch and first cohort's activities. "We are eager to continue scaling blended learning adoption through the 20 districts, who ultimately will be selected for the second cohort. The first Raising Blended Learners cohort, selected in 2015, included 5 demonstration districts that received grant funding and implementation support. Another 15 received implementation support without grant funding. To date, the initiative has impacted more than 50 schools, 600 teachers, and 35,000 students. All Raising Blended Learners materials are free and available to any district interested in piloting blended learning approaches. Husband's bullying of young son leads wife to consider leaving. Dear Abby for Tuesday. Dear Abby, I have a 4-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl, and I'm worried. My husband bullies our son, Jake. We often go to a park with swing sets near our home. Jake runs to the swings, gets on, and then my husband pushes it so hard. Jake screams in fear. People sitting on the benches stop talking and turn toward us. If I do what I can to stop this, my husband pushes me. I see him giggling low and his eyes flash, with his head bent slightly down. My husband is not a young father. I'm worried he will continue to bully Jake and otherwise as he grows. My husband is a small man with feminine features and a shy demeanor. He has told me how some of his older brothers bullied him and how girls in the neighborhood called him derogatory names. I suspect he bullies our son to get even with what happened to him back then. Knowing him, I don't think counseling will be an option. I feel I must either live with him at my son's expense or leave. Do you have any advice for me? Anonymous in the U.S. Dear Anonymous, talk to your husband and tell him his behavior is hurting the boy and it must stop. Does the bullying only occur in the park? If so, avoid going to the park with Daddy. I'm concerned about your statement that he pushes you if you try to intervene. If you mean it literally, this is spousal abuse. Deliberately frightening a child is also abuse, which may indeed escalate as the boy grows older. Some sessions with a psychotherapist could be helpful for you in determining what your next steps should be. Divorce may be the surest way to protect both of your children. Dear Abby, my late husband refused to wear a seatbelt. One day a truck hit him. He was thrown around hard inside the car and spent a month in the hospital. An X-ray showed the back of his brain was mush. He was mentally disabled for the rest of his life and needed care 24/7. It was such a waste. He had been a teacher with a master's degree in education. My grown children helped me to take care of him. They were heartbroken. This was a tragedy that could have been avoided. It happened only because he didn't take a few seconds to fasten his seatbelt. Please print this as a reminder to your readers, Abby. Common Sense Californian. Dear Californian, I am truly sorry for your family's pain. Too many people, drivers and passengers, choose to ignore the seatbelt laws. As your letter illustrates, they do so at their own peril. Every traveler, whether in the front or back seat, should buckle up. I'm glad you shared this because so many people are on the road during the holidays. I hope your family's tragic experience will give them the nudge they need. Dear Abby, my son recently married his longtime partner, Kurt. They are coming to visit soon. How should I introduce Kurt to people now? Do I use the word husband, partner, or something else? Lost for the word. Dear Lost, many gay men use husband or spouse when referring to the man to whom they are married. But to be sure, ask your son and Kurt which title they would prefer you to use. Volunteer opportunities. Midland County Public Library is in need of Therapy Dogs International volunteers as part of our Dog Tales program. This program gives children a chance to come in and work on their reading and language skills by reading aloud to a therapy dog. Please sign up only if you are registered with Therapy Dogs International. Volunteers age 18 and older must undergo a background check. The Midland Chamber of Commerce needs people to help in the office. Individuals provide support for the office, front desk help, answering phones, organization of supplies, and other various projects depending on the time of the year. Specific events and other duties as assigned. Individuals will be interacting with members, potential members, small and large business owners, various other volunteers, and the general public. Good people skills are necessary. Office experience is a plus. Ability to lift a minimum of 15 pounds required. Individual must be a self-starter and able to work with various individuals to accomplish a common goal. Interview will be required of individuals interested. Hospice of Midland is looking for volunteers to assist with monthly birthday celebrations for residents of Legacy Ranch Memory Care Facility. Once a month, Hospice of Midland volunteers visit the facility at 4800 Briarwood Avenue to celebrate resident birthdays. Volunteers serve treats and refreshments, sing happy birthday to the residents, and visit with them. This activity is held on the second Friday of every month, starting at 2 p.m. for setup. The celebration begins at 2:30 p.m., and cleanup begins at 3 p.m., and is normally completed by 3:30 p.m. Gifts of Hope needs volunteers to assist with social media. This will include creating event flyers, posting to social media pages, and other tasks and projects necessary to the daily functioning of Gifts of Hope. This volunteer opportunity would require working closely with staff for direction and guidance, but can be done from anywhere. Gifts of Hope strive to match volunteer interests and talents to the administrative needs of the organization. The Seed Church has an opportunity to engage in their weekly ministry. A small meal is served to attendees every 4:14 to 6:15 p.m. Saturdays. Assistance is needed with serving the attendees and cleaning up the kitchen and foyer area of the building after the meal is served. Food and drink are provided to all volunteers. The Boys and Girls Club of Midland needs energetic teens to assist with the after-school program Monday through Friday. Teens will provide a positive model of behavior for the kids and engage them in games and activities from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. Hours completed are eligible for Legacy Scholarship. Midland Shared Spaces Connections Volunteer Opportunities. This select area volunteer opportunities are provided by MSS Connections, a program of MSS made possible by the Warren Charitable Foundation. The free service connects you with nonprofits in Midland County. Find new ways to connect and plug in with your community at mssconnections.org. Assist Sharing Hands, a respite experience, SHARE, in the care of special needs kids and their siblings on its regularly scheduled respite nights, 5 to 10 p.m. at First Christian Church. Support the staff by engaging with the children and youth in activities, including games, movies, and crafts. Dinner is provided. Volunteers must be 18 years or older and pass a background check. The Aphasia Center of West Texas needs help planning its annual fundraising event, Chocolate Decadence, which is February 7th. The signature fundraising event will celebrate 15 years of chocolate in 2020. This event raises 35% to 40% of the center's annual budget. The Chocolate Decadence Planning Committee meets 4 p.m., the fourth Monday of the month. Meetings last about an hour and occur 7 to 9 months out of the year. Volunteer duties are varied and require many different skill sets, such as leadership, creativity, organization, or writing thank you notes. Young Life Capernaum gives young people with intellectual and developmental disabilities the chance to experience fun and adventure, to develop fulfilling friendships and to challenge their limits while building self-esteem through club, camp, and other exciting activities. YLC is looking for teen buddies and adult volunteers for its program. Minimum age is 16. Dinner is provided for the 2.5-hour volunteer period. The United Way of Midland is seeking members for its grant allocation panel. Volunteers will review proposals from organizations looking to receive grants from the United Way, conduct site visits, and learn more about the mission of the organizations and how they function. Panel members usually volunteer between 15 and 25 hours during year one, with fewer hours required for year two and year three. Most of the work is completed between the middle of February and the middle of April. Junior Achievement empowers young people to own their economic success. Volunteer-delivered K-12 programs foster work readiness, entrepreneurship, and financial literacy skills, and use experiential learning to inspire kids to dream big and reach their potential. Classroom volunteers are needed to teach the Junior Achievement curriculum in schools for grades K through 12, volunteers visit Midland-Odessa classrooms to teach students about economics, life in the workforce, and the importance of community involvement. Volunteer opportunities are 1 hour per week for 5 to 8 weeks, or one day at a time. MISD students can earn legacy hours and gain valuable mentor experience through their schools. MISD students can volunteer to help students directly through activities such as math and reading tutorials, helping with science fair projects, and serving as a mentor to younger students. Student volunteers can also assist teachers, coaches, and administrators with projects on campus. Girlfriend closely attached to son is distant to family. Dear Abby for Thursday. Dear Abby, one of my sons is dating a young woman who seems to care deeply for him, but is very cool and distant to our family. He goes to nearly all of her family's events, but she seldom comes to any of ours. She has been to one birthday get-together at a restaurant, a wedding, and a play where I bought the tickets for her, myself, and all my daughters-in-law. She has been invited to family dinners at one or another of our homes, Christmas celebrations, Thanksgivings, birthdays, you name it, but has not come to any of them. My husband and I hand-make our gifts to her, which require a lot of time and effort. Last year, she sent us each a gift for Christmas. They have been dating for several years. When they are apart, she texts him constantly. I am confused and troubled by her indifference to us. We have been more than welcoming to her. Is there anything I or we could do to help her warm up to us? Flummoxed Mom in the South. Dear Flummoxed, have you talked with your son about this? If not, you should. You are already doing everything you can, so prepare to batten down the hatches. If your son eventually marries this insecure young woman, she will continue isolating him from his family and absorb him into her own. When the grandchildren come, they will spend the majority of the time with her family and not yours. It's harsh, but it's the truth. Unless your son is strong enough to put his foot down, it's exactly what will happen. You have my sympathy. Dear Abby, I am a naturally thin young woman. Oftentimes, especially when I'm working in offices with older women, my coworkers comment on their dissatisfaction with their weight and how they wish their body could be more like mine. To be honest, I don't equate thinness with beauty or fat with ugliness. But when I try to tell these women I think they are beautiful as they are, it's received with suspicion, as if they think I don't mean what I say. How can I respond to those who are unhappy with their weight without sounding insincere? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Thin in Florida. Dear Thin, when your coworkers compliment you about your figure, smile and say thank you, period. If they express dissatisfaction with their appearance, do not allow yourself to be drawn into the conversation. You can't alleviate their insecurities. They haven't believed you when you tried. Because the subject makes you uncomfortable, try changing the topic to another one. Dear Abby, is there a place where I can donate puzzles? I always make sure all the pieces are there. I put them in a zip bag inside a taped box, so anyone who gets them would be getting something that's as good as new. I have a whole closet full, and I need to find a place to donate them. They are too nice to throw away. Wanting to share in Washington. Dear Wanting, I am sure that if you call around, you will discover that senior centers, hospitals, nursing homes, libraries, churches, schools, and rehabilitation facilities could put those puzzles to good use. It's worth a try. Problems gaining weight. To your good health for Tuesday. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm having problems trying to gain weight. Should I take an instant breakfast drink or supplement? Any specific foods I should eat? I'm 87 and fairly healthy. Should I see a nutritionist? Dr. Roach writes, difficulty putting on weight and weight loss are significant concerns in people over 80, as there is often an underlying medical cause. Before thinking about the right treatment, A careful evaluation for the common causes is indicated, and your regular doctor is the person to see. This should include a careful dietary history, a medical history and physical exam, and some appropriate blood tests. Treatment should be aimed at correcting any problems found. If none are found, then nutritional supplements may be of some value. However, consultation with a dietitian nutritionist would likely be of even more value, as they may offer you personalized advice.
Health Briefs. Pediatric clinic to receive recognition. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center Pediatric Clinic in Odessa has been recognized for its program initiatives that support children and youth in foster care. The clinic at 701 West 5th Street will be designated as a foster care center of excellence at a ceremony planned for 3 p.m. today, according to a press release. It will be the sixth clinic to receive the designation from Superior, a managed health care company. To receive the designation, a provider must meet criteria that include quality improvement initiatives, program processes, and staff requirements, according to the release from TTUHSC. Midland Health Events. Way to Success Informational Seminar, 4 p.m. Thursday, Midland Memorial Hospital. Sunday Adkins, 638-8081. Sunday.adkins@midlandhealth.org. To register, go to midlandhealth.org and click on Classes and Events. COM Aquatics. COM Aquatics, 3003 North A Street, offers paddleboard classes 7:15 p.m. Mondays. Boards don't have to be reserved. Finding a doctor. Access to a primary care provider is one mission of Midland Health. Residents who need help finding a physician or setting up an appointment can call 221-3627. 221-DOCS. Hope Chest. Hope Chest is a program that provides support for women during their pregnancy and after their baby is born. Hope Chest allows mothers and mothers-to-be to earn necessities such as diapers, wipes, clothing, and car seats through a point system. Points are earned by attending prenatal appointments and childbirth classes, and once the baby is born, moms continue to earn points at pediatrician visits until the child turns two. The program office is at Midland Memorial Hospital West Campus. For more information or to enroll in the program, call 221-1150. To make a monetary donation or donate brand new baby items to Hope Chest, call the March of Dimes office at 416-7310. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 6-8 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 6-8 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate healthcare option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. Helpline for long-term or disabled care. The Texas Department of Aging and Disability Services has a toll-free number residents can call to obtain information on services for the disabled or long-term care. For more information, call 855-937-2372. Contact your hospital district representative. Midland Memorial Hospital, 400 Roslyn Redfern Grover Parkway, Midland, Texas, 79701. Phone 221-1111. Website, www.midlandhealth.org. Facebook, www.facebook.com/Midland Memorial Hospital. Twitter, twitter.com/Midland Memorial. Midland Memorial President Russell Myers, 221-1584. Directors, District 1, Tracy Green, District 2, Dwayne Tomlin, District 3, Larry Mercer, District 4, Link Grimes, District 5, Carrie Chaplin, District 6, Joe Kowalski, District 7, Jeffrey Beard. Assessment to help meet county's unique health needs. The health of a community is unique. A thumbprint of its makeup, it tells the story of the many unique and wonderful facets housed within its borders, as well as opportunities for growth. Midland Health conducts a community health needs assessment every 4 years to survey the overall health of Midland County. The assessment for fiscal years 2020 to 2022 was completed in August. The assessment included an extensive health data collection process and interview methodology. The results of the report guide Midland Health's focus and community outreach initiatives in the succeeding years. CHNA is comprised of qualitative and quantitative data. Health data is collected from a variety of sources, such as the U.S. Census, Center of Disease Control, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Midland County ranked 29 out of the 244 counties in Texas in 2019. Midland County was ranked 42 in the state in 2018. The Community Health Rankings report was conducted by the Johnson Foundation. The ranking considered length and quality of life of a county's residents, as well as health behaviors, social and economic factors, and clinical care. Individuals with special knowledge of public health in Midland County were interviewed during the data collection process. Interviewees were affiliated with state or local public health departments, organizations working with the medically underserved, and minority populations or local community leaders. Interviewees said the county's greatest needs were affordability of health care, the effects of local population growth, access to mental and behavioral health resources, and an increased need for community education. Midland Health determined 5 priorities from the assessment's findings. These priorities include the following, as well as a variety of ways Midland Health continues to enact change and progress: prevention, education, and services to address high mortality rates, chronic diseases, preventable conditions, and unhealthy lifestyles. Midland Health believes education is a key component to our health as a community. We've created a robust outreach program as a pathway for education and interaction. The CHNA 2020 to 2022 encouraged the continued expansion of many of these successful programs. Our scientifically proven belief in lifestyle medicine has given us a passion for establishing accessible produce in our community for all. Midland Health opened Midland's first community garden in 2016 and partnered with Midland YMCA in 2017 to open a second location. Midland Health is working to expand its network of community gardens to a third location in 2020. In 2020, further expansion of other Midland Health outreach programs, such as wellness tour, on-site walking paths, and lifestyle medicine education, will drive impact and influence within Midland County. Access to affordable care and reducing disparities among specific populations. Midland Health also has identified specialty care procedures and programs to meet the unique needs of specific populations in Midland County. Midland Memorial Hospital is accredited as a Nurses Improving Care for Health System Elders facility with an established acute care for elderly nurse to provide specialty care for local elderly community members. Midland Health provides transportation vouchers on a limited basis for discharged patients who do not have a way to return home after being discharged from MMH and outpatient pharmacy services for the indigent population within Midland County. Increased emphasis on education and awareness of existing healthcare resources. Midland Health, as a health system, prioritized the development and promotion of innovative programs and resources. BasinMD, a telehealth platform that offers 24/7 medical care from anywhere using your smartphone, tablet, or computer. The platform provides a community member with a virtual visit, during which a healthcare provider can offer a diagnosis, treatment, and medication if appropriate. BasinMD launched in 2018 and continues to provide another way for Midland residents to receive quality care and avoid the emergency room. In partnership with Midland Community Healthcare Services, Midland Health promotes neighborhood-based programs informing high-risk populations about the ease of access and affordability of health care. Midland Health, along with MCHS and the March of Dimes, has a reoccurring campaign with an emphasis on the importance of prenatal medical care and local available resources, such as Hope Chest. Hope Chest is an incentive-based program for pregnant and parenting women, which encourages healthy behaviors during and after pregnancy. Increased emphasis on physician recruitment and retention. Midland Health actively and effectively recruits and retains physicians in a variety of specialties to ensure the system can meet the needs of all Midland County residents. In conjunction with the University of North Texas, Midland Health supports a fast-track family residency osteopathic medicine program, with a focus on health promotion and disease prevention. Midland Health Physician Practice affiliates are also encouraged to engage in a collaborative specialty care recruitment of neurologists, OBGYN, ENT, pulmonologists, and other specialists as needed as needs arise. Access to mental and behavioral health care services and providers. Midland Health, in partnership with Healthy Minds and the Behavioral Health Initiative, have continued to provide and expand services for our community members in need of behavioral health care or other local resources. Midland Health is working diligently to provide telepsychiatry services to assist with the crisis evaluation process. This includes the current crisis evaluation services and appropriate referrals for patients who present themselves at MMH. Midland County's health is a collaborative effort, which Midland Health believes through access to affordable care, education on resources, as well as preventable diseases, we will light the way to becoming the healthiest community in Texas.
That's the end of the first hour of the Midland Reporter Telegram in Odessa American. We'll begin our second hour right after we take a look at weather.